Good morning. It's 11 minutes before 8 a.m. This is Raven Radio, KCAW in Sitka, where it's 31 degrees under clear skies. Today is Monday, February 3rd, 2014. I'm Melissa Marconi-Wenzel with Raven News. Three Middle Eastern high school students are experiencing life in Southeast Alaska. They're here through a U.S. State Department program established in response to the September 11th attacks. The program's goal is to bring students from Muslim countries to the U.S. to learn about American values and culture. In turn, the students teach Americans about life and culture in the Middle East. The students recently gave a talk at the University of Alaska Southeast, Translocal Muslim Identities Around the World. Lisa Fu has this report.
My name is Abdullah Hussein. I'm from Bahrain. I'm 16 years old and I go to Juno Douglas High School.
When Abdullah learned he was coming to Alaska, he had visions of endless snow. So did his fellow exchange students.
My name is Maha Abdurreza. I'm from Yemen. I go to Thunder Mountain High School here, and I'm 18.
Maha says she was excited to be accepted into the competitive U.S. exchange program, which means living and going to school in America for 1 year.
I went to my family. I was like, I got a host family. I was so excited, and they were, where? I was like, in Alaska. My dad was, what? You don't have to go.
The student assigned to Haynes said he didn't even know people existed in Alaska.
I'm Haytham Mohanna from Gaza Strip, Palestine. I go to Haynes High School. I'm 16 years old.
In the same way the exchange students and their families had preconceived notions about Alaska, the students found that Alaskans had preconceived notions about them. Abdullah says more than once a friend has introduced him like this.
This is Abdullah, the terrorist.
Another student recently asked him these questions.
Would you ever bomb America? And I told him no. And he was like, do you know anyone in your family who would bomb America? And I was like, no. And he goes, do you know anyone from your country who would bomb America? And then I just got pissed and then I was like, what's up with the third degree?
Despite these incidences, experiencing America and Alaska has been positive for all of them. Aside from attending high school, making friends, and living with a host family, the students get to travel to other parts of the country, try new activities, and have classic Alaska experiences.
I have tried cross-country skiing for the first time, and I fell 15 times. That was crazy. I was counting.
Maha also can't wait to tell her friends in Yemen about homecoming.
And I will tell them I danced. I danced like crazy. I have never danced in my life.
Abdullah recounts a run-in with a bear.
I was texting and looking down, listening to music, and so all of a sudden I looked up, and maybe 20 feet away, there was this big bear looking into this garbage, and he looked at me, and I looked at him. And I know they say don't run, but I couldn't help it. I didn't run. I walked backwards faster than running, maybe.
While in America, Maha doesn't wear a traditional long black abaya that covers her whole body. Instead, she wears dresses with leggings, but she still wears a hijab, a religious headscarf.
I can't show my hair for guys except for my father, brother, future husband, future kids, and uncles and grandfather.
Maha says it has been a culture shock to see so much interaction between boys and girls. In her home country, schools aren't mixed.
So, like in Yemen, we are not allowed to have girlfriends or boyfriends, and we are not allowed walking and holding hands with guys and hugging them and stuff. That's crazy.
Haytham says the biggest difference between living in America and living in conflict-ridden Gaza Strip is by far the weather and freedom.
Like being here in America, it's very different, having your freedom, having your choices, do whatever you want to. I can't explain it. Like from a siege or under siege to having many choices and many stuff to do, it's so different.
He says the exchange program is affecting his life in more ways than he ever imagined.
This program opened many doors and many choices for me. Also, it will do many things for me, even in the future, for my future job, for my college, for my life, how to react, how to deal with people, many people, how to communicate.
Haytham, Maha, and Abdullah have a tip for Americans. If you want to know about another country's culture, travel there, meet people, and talk to them. In Juneau, I'm Lisa Fu.
Search is starting up new eye clinics in Petersburg and Wrangell this year. The Southeast Alaska Regional Health Consortium will be offering eye exams at the Petersburg Medical Center February 3rd through the 6th. Search is a nonprofit consortium of 18 Native communities in Southeast and offers healthcare services at Mount Edgecombe Hospital in Sitka, along with Juneau Medical Center. Dr. Pam Steffes says Search has traditionally contracted with other providers to offer services in Petersburg and Wrangell.
The goal really is to bring core healthcare services, which includes eye care, out to the communities where our patients are, bringing the care as close to them as possible. And we have the opportunity to do that with eye care. Search has expanded our eye care providers over the years. We now have 4 optometrists working for Search throughout the region, and that gives us the opportunity to expand and travel out to Petersburg this year and Wrangell as well.
Search plans a similar clinic in Wrangell in May, and then we'll be back to both communities in the fall. The plan is to offer the clinics twice a year in both towns.
You know, you think about going in for an eye exam and getting your prescription for glasses, but we do also have the ability to do dilated eye health exams, checking for glaucoma, diabetic retinopathy, other eye diseases. We can do cataract surgery referrals, just help anybody with comprehensive eye care.
To schedule an appointment, you can call Search's Sitka Eye Clinic at 966-8415. Southeast Alaska's developing mariculture industry was one of the topics mentioned during a joint news teleconference Thursday in Juneau, featuring officials from the U.S. Department of Agriculture and the Alaska Farm Service Agency. The news conference was part of Juneau's annual Innovation Summit and included Regional Forester Beth Pendleton, Deputy Undersecretary for USDA's Rural Development Patrice Kunesh, Samia Savelle of the Natural Resources Conservation Service, and Danny Konzenstein, Director of the state's Farm Service Agency. Kunesh focused her remarks on USDA programs in Western Alaska, particularly programs that aim to help rural communities install water and sewage systems. In his remarks, Konzenstein noted that his agency has no employees in Southeast Alaska, but the State Farm Service does try to support industry here, including mariculture startups.
We've heard this from the people of Southeast that the potential for job creation in the shellfish mariculture industry through oyster productions, through geoduck, through other shellfish mariculture could help create jobs, particularly in rural areas. This is a kind of an industry that's kind of a mom and pop. It requires a lot of kind of Alaskan ingenuity and resilience to live in some remote areas and produce these shellfish. And so the Farm Service Agency has helped through our loan program and through some other programs that we have to try to lower some of the costs of doing business.
Transporting materials, for example, can be prohibitively expensive for people trying to set up a shellfish farm in a remote area. Ketchikan is home to Oceans Alaska, which produces some of the shellfish seed used by the state's mariculture industry. There are oyster and geoduck farms in Southeast Alaska, including remote parts of Prince of Wales Island. And federal scientists are predicting a catch of nearly 30 million pink salmon in Southeast Alaska this summer. That's a little better than the forecast put out last fall by the Alaska Department of Fish and Game for a catch of 22 million humpies, but it's still not even one-third of the record-setting catch of 2013. KFSK's Joe Vicnicki reports.
National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration fisheries scientists compile their forecast based on an annual trawl survey of juvenile pink salmon. Joe Orsi, a fish research biologist for the Alaska Fisheries Science Center in Juneau, explains.
It's the peak count in either June or July for a particular year, and they basically have been at sea for 2 to 3 months, and they've undergone most of their survival, which happens near shore. And we're sampling out in the middle of Icy Strait as all these stocks move past. So we're getting just a subsample of the fish as they head out to the ocean.
In 2012, fishing boats caught over 21 million pinks. That's when the parents of this year's incoming run were returning to spawn. Orsi says scientists also have started assigning an annual rank for the ocean conditions observed for the outgoing juvenile pinks. That's based on 17 years of observing other variables like ocean currents, migration timing, and predation by other salmon species. Those factors rank the incoming pink salmon return at number 13 out of the past 17 years. Federal scientists have been forecasting Southeast pink returns for a decade, and Orsi notes the forecast has been close for most of that time.
When we've actually made forecasts for the last 10 years, 8 of the last 10 years have been very close, like within 7% of the actual harvest. You know, this last year was an exception, and so was 2006, which was a result of the really poor ocean conditions in 2005. So, you know, all in all, our forecasts have been, you know, pretty good.
Neither the federal or state forecasts were anywhere near the record-setting harvest of 2013, though. Fishing boats caught over 94 million pinks last year, and forecasts were a little more than half that amount. On one other note for the upcoming season, Ocean Beauty Seafoods does plan to operate its processing plant in Petersburg this year. That facility was shuttered in 2012 after the state ferry Matanuska collided with the cannery building. The company also did not operate the plant in 2010 because of a weak salmon run. That's not the case for 2014, though, according to Ocean Beauty Vice President of Marketing Tom Sunderland.
Certainly the plant's recovered from the damages that it had. It's all fine. It's all running. Everything's up to speed. And we're actually hoping for a decent catch in Southeast this year. So I think that running the plant will be great for us this year.
Ocean Beauty and Icicle Seafoods operate Petersburg's two salmon canneries. In Petersburg, I'm Joe Vicknicki.
That's all for Raven News for this morning. It's 8 a.m. This is KCAW Sitka. 31 degrees in downtown Sitka under clear skies. Should be sunny today with highs around 39 and east winds 5 to 15 miles per hour. Mostly clear tonight with lows around 27, east winds 5 to 15 miles per hour. And sunny tomorrow with highs around 32, east winds 5 to 15 miles per hour. The sun rose this morning at 7:59. It will set at 4:27 this afternoon. That's a total of 8 hours and 28 minutes of daylight and a gain of 4 minutes and 38 seconds over yesterday. Our next tide coming up will be at 9:12 this morning, a 0.8-foot low tide. Stay tuned for NPR's Morning Edition. I'll be back at 8:18 with a local interview with Susan Bronlin about her upcoming art aerobics class. Do stay tuned and have a good morning.